Let me in. I want to be closer to you. Open up your soul. Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your
touch your mind. Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. It's that time of year when there's all manner of fun things to do for the holidays. One of the fun things that people are able to do is go to Circus Bella and see some holiday performances. Here to talk about Circus Bella, I'd like to welcome Abigail Nunn. Welcome.
Hi, great to be back on your show.
Thanks for being here. So before we get into what's going on with Circus Bella, tell us a little bit about the history of Circus Bella.
So I co-founded Circus Bella with David Hunt back in 2008. And now we have been doing, in the summers, free shows in parks and open spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that in the summer months. And then this is our third year with our Big Top Holiday Circus production, which is down at the East Cut.
And what was the, like, what was the impetus for deciding to do it?
So I grew up in San Francisco native. And I grew up with the Pickle Family Circus. And then I went on to become a professional circus performer. And then when I was working, I was touring across the country with another company, and my friend and I, David, we decided that we really wanted to bring this feeling of One Ring Circus back to the Bay Area. The Pickles mm-hmm. hadn't been around in a little while, but people still remembered this amazing show. And mm-hmm. so could we continue in this tradition and expand upon this tradition? And so that's how we founded Circus Bella.
So what was any other family member involved in the circus, or were you the first?
I was the first family member to join the circus, but my parents were in the arts. My parents moved here in the late 70s to work for the San Francisco Opera.
Oh, okay.
So we have, I do have theater roots here, or theatrical roots. My father was a lighting designer.
So, go on.
There was this kind of, and you'll see it actually in Circus Bella. We're very high production value for mm-hmm. a very small little company.
Mm-hmm. So when you decided that you were going to join the circus, and what was that conversation like with your parents? Was it like, oh, baby, whatever you want to do? Or was it just sort of stunned silence before there was a deep inhale? Tell me about that conversation.
Yeah. So my parents signed me up for a circus class with the Pickle Family Circus when I was 9, up when they still had their space up on Potrero Hill.
Okay.
And I still remember I walked into the space and I'm like, OMG, this is it.
Uh-huh.
This is what I'm doing. So I started taking classes, and then I was able to be part of this little youth troupe called the Pickle Family Circus Kids. And then when Master Lu Yi, who was this amazing Chinese acrobatic coach, came, I was one of his students. And then I went to a high school that had circus in it, so I just kept going.
Okay.
And then I also was very interested in dance, so I went off to college and became with a dance degree. And then when I came back from college, I got into the show as a dancer, and then the trapeze artist got pregnant, and I was like, well, I can do that. And so then that kind of started getting back into the circus again after college.
Wait. You go from, I'm a dancer to the trapeze artist. Okay, I'll do that now. See, I would never go, oh, yeah, you need a brain surgeon right now because your brain surgeon's pregnant. I'll just jump in and do that. So how do you make that transition?
Well, I had done it as a kid.
Oh, okay.
You're right. It had been a couple of years, but I was like, well, I used to do that. I can learn. I can get strong again and do that. And that first show I did was not my probably finest work, but there it was before cell phones, and so there was no video of those performances.
So that first performance, you say it wasn't your best work. Like, did you fall, you know, or
no,
was it just
you know, you're just getting back into it. You know, it was kind of this scruffy little show called Circus Proboscis that we did in this little black box theater a long time ago. And then, but that kind of got me back into creating and dancing. And, you know, that was back in 2002.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and then that kind of set me back on the road in the circus.
Understood.
After a 4-year break while I was in college.
Understood. What I love about your trajectory is that your parents first and they enroll you and then you just keep going. So it could not have been a surprise that you were going to they were like, yeah, that tracks. We see it coming. We saw it coming.
Yeah, right. Well, we joked that signing me up for that class was like the worst parenting mistake they ever made. But my parents really supported. My father passed away a few years ago, but he's very much helped me. Both my parents are very involved in the circus and helped get the show up.
So. Oh, that's nice. Have you ever tried to recruit any other family members or nieces and nephews to join the circus with you?
Not yet. My nephews are 4, so they're still a little young, but we'll teach them to juggle as soon as possible.
Oh, okay. So you have this brainchild, which is Circus Bella. What did you have a theme that first year, or was it just like whoever we can get to do it?
Yeah, so the first year, so what happened was is that we, David and I had this idea about creating this circus, and then a year went by, nothing happened, and then we had met for breakfast or something like that. I think we went to the Hard Knocks Cafe.
Okay.
And then we were talking about, we're like, hey, I'm still thinking about that idea about bringing the circus back, and then, or this idea of one ring circus, family circus, human circus, mm-hmm. back to the Bay Area. And then a couple days after we had this conversation, this winery called Bella Winery called me and they said, do you have a circus? And I said, yes. But I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You were faking. Fake it till you make it.
But I was just faking it till I was making it. And then I called David and I said, okay, we've got a gig. So what do we want this show to be about? And how do we want to structure this? Because we have a date, mm-hmm. and we have the smallest of budgets. And so our first show, we're thinking about what's important. And a lot of the things actually are still part of the show now. So we wanted to have a live band and have live original music. And we wanted to perform in the round, which we still do. And we wanted to end the show with a big juggle. So everyone in the cast juggles to finish the show.
Okay.
And then we also wanted to be kind of traditional, like traditional circus, in that we bring in people with their acts and they present things that they're like their different individual skills, and we kind of go act to act, but mm-hmm. at the same time we also do a lot of ensemble work. And so that's all still the case today. But the first year we had four band members and 6 company members, and now we have 6 band members and I think 12 company members.
Nice.
And we're in a tent.
I love it. So you have a different theme every year. Mm-hmm. What's the theme this year?
This year, the theme is Starlight.
Ooh.
And I think it's about magic and joy and feeling and kind of delight.
Mm-hmm.
And also celebrating human potential. You know, what can we dream of doing? Mm. what's possible?
Okay. So can you describe some of the acts that will be in this year's show?
Yes. We have this year, we have Ariel Abacher, and she's a beautiful wire walker.
Mm-hmm.
So she came in from Vermont. She worked with us in the summers a couple years ago, but we weren't able to rig her tightrope, so
okay.
her tight wire. So we're able to do that here in the tent. We have Ozzy Sanchez, who's from Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an amazing juggler. And so he's going to be presenting two acts for the show.
Okay.
He's doing bounce juggling and gauchos.
Okay.
And then we have Tony Cannon and Mia Fan. Tony has been working with us for many years doing different acts. He's done the strongman. He's done the Chinese pole. But this year he's doing a hand balancing act with a new company member named Mia Fan.
Okay.
So, and then we have the amazing clown trio of Jamie, Natasha, and Calvin. They'll be back.
Okay.
They've got a whole bunch of new silliness. And then we have Veronica Blair and Dora Galea are our aerialists. And I'm sure I'm missing somebody. Elise Hing, a fantastic contortionist. And then I'm going to be the ringmaster.
Very cool.
And I'm sure there's somebody I left out, and I apologize and in advance.
Well, I'm looking at your lineup. You've got like Jack Weinstock and Aussie.
Oh, Jack Weinstock is doing foot juggling, which is an amazing thing. She went to China for a year and learned how to juggle things on her feet.
Wow. Wow. I can barely stand on my feet, so I'm impressed by anybody who can do anything outside of the normal walking with their feet. So we talked about Jack. You mentioned Aussie. You mentioned, was it Ori?
And then Ori. Ori Quesada is going to be doing Rola Bola, which is a cylinder with a plank on top of it. And then
he flips
bowls onto the head. You might have seen him before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a company favorite, yeah.
And you mentioned Natasha and Elise and Dwara, Mia, Ariel, Jamie, Tony, Veronica. I think you mentioned everybody.
I got it.
Yay!
Well, you had to prompt me a little bit.
That's okay. That's okay because, you know, you want everyone to get their props. So as the ringmaster, what is a ringmaster's job? Are you more like the master of ceremonies, or what does that entail?
Yeah, it's like an MC. I'm the one that's going to take everyone on this journey. I also usually will. I do, when we're in the tent, I'll sing a song.
Ah, okay.
But I'm your host, and you're kind of in just a, take everybody along for the ride.
Okay. Now, when I've been in shows where there's lots of dancing, children come up and then they want to be dancers. Do you get kids coming up wanting to now be in the circus or to do a particular type of act?
Very much so. I definitely hear stories about reenactments that happen in living rooms afterwards, after the show.
Okay, which is why you don't have fire breathers.
No fire breathers. No.
Okay. And so what do you tell the kids when they come up, and what do you tell the parents who are looking at their children like, is this really going to happen?
Let's see. Well, I think I feel like the circus is the most wonderful world to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so lucky every day to go to work, but it's also not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to work really hard, and you have to be very disciplined and practice every day. And, but I do feel like we're so lucky that it's my job to spread joy in the world.
So when the kids come up, you say, go for it.
So I say, go for it. But I also say, if there's anything else that you want to do in the world, go for that. You know, if there's anything else, you should only do this if this is the only thing you want to do in the world.
Right. I have to say, your story of wanting to do it since you were a kid, you're not the first circus person to say that. I had a friend who he wanted to do the circus, and he did, and he just expected his entire family to join the circus with them, and he was crestfallen when they didn't, but he just kept doing it. So is that a common thing that people who are in the circus have wanted to do it from the get-go?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. You know, I mean, yes, I think there's a lot of us that have just been not known anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, our juggler, Ozzie Sanchez, I think he's fifth generation circus.
Oh, wow.
So he comes from a circus family. So, I mean, it's in his blood. And then I think there's people who find it a little later in life. You know, Tony, who's doing the acrobatics, the hand balancing,
mm-hmm.
he came, I don't know exactly how old he was, but it was definitely a little bit later in life.
Oh, okay.
So,
Okay.
So it's never too late.
Okay. Well, let's get back to Starlight, because I know the audience wants to know when and where.
Right. So we are going to be at the Crossing at Eastcut, which is down at Howard and Beale Street.
Oh, okay.
This is our third year in this location. The tent, if you came a different year, the tent scooted over a little bit.
Okay. So it's Howard and Beale.
Yeah. And the you can buy tickets and learn more about our company at circusbella.org.
Okay, circusbella.org. And then if people just show up, can they purchase tickets at the door?
You can purchase tickets at the door. You can purchase tickets online. We try to make it as easy as possible for you to purchase tickets.
Okay, and it's definitely a super kid-friendly show.
It's absolutely kid-friendly, but I would also say it's not a kid's show. It's a people show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you don't have a kid, that's okay. You can grab your inner child and come.
Right, right, right.
You know, the circus is for everybody.
Right.
It's not scary. It's amazing. It's really appropriate for all ages.
Right, and no animals,
actually,
correct?
No animals.
Okay.
One of the things that I really like is I'll see groups that it's like kids, their parents, and their grandparents all coming to the circus together, and
I like that.
Love that.
All right. Well, once more for our listening audience, when does it start? What times does it start? And where can they get tickets?
So we are running running December 12th through January 4th.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have 26 shows, so there's lots of different times. There are day shows, evening shows, so whatever fits in your schedule.
Oh, okay.
And you can go to get tickets at www.circusbella.org.
Okay. Do you ever get school groups that come to it since you're doing
it? Not this year, but it's something I'm very interested in working on for the future.
Okay. All right. Well, Abigail Munn, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. I'm a big fan.
Yay! All right. People of Earth, this is your opportunity. I've actually been to this show, and it's quite fun. I kind of get nervous whenever I see jugglers, or I'm the person that they're aiming for, the person who's like, no, don't fall. And it's always an enjoyable time. So you're going to want to go check it out.
We'll be right back. Could you enter into deep lounge? Coming closer to becoming the proper modern pagan that you are.
Flower, they hope to find a better home. They finally knocked on Plymouth. said we're there. It may not look like home, but at this point I don't care. Oh, they were missing Mother England. They swore their loyalty until the very end. Anything you say, King, it's okay, King. You know it's kind of scary on your own. Gonna build a new land the way we planned. Could you help us run it till it's grown? They planted corn, you know. They built their houses one by one. And bit by bit they worked until the colonies were done. They looked around, yeah, up and down. And someone said, hooray! If the king could only see us now, he would be proud of us today. They knew that now they'd run their own land. But George III still vowed he'd rule them to the end. Anything I say, do it my way now. Anything I say, do it my way. Don't you get to feeling independent, 'cause I'm gonna force you to obey. He taxed their property, he didn't give them any choice. And back in England, he didn't give them any voice. That's called taxation without representation, and it's not fair. But when the colonies complained, the king said, I don't care. He even has the nerve to tax our cup of tea. To put it kindly, King, we really don't agree. Gonna show you how we feel. We're gonna dump this tea and turn this harbor into the biggest cup of tea in history. They wanted no more Mother England. They knew the time had come for them to take command. It's very clear you're being unfair, King. No matter what you say, we won't obey. Gonna hold a revolution now, King, and we're gonna run it all away with no more king.
We're gonna elect a president.
No more king.
He's gonna do what the people want.
No more king.
We're gonna run things our way.
No more king.
Nobody's gonna tell us what to do.
Rocking and a rolling, swishing and a splashing over the horizon. What can it be? Looks like it's going to be a free country.
That's Lynn Ahern and No More Kings from Schoolhouse Rock, Grammar Rock. Actually, it's Schoolhouse Rock, America Rock. Before that, Cher, and Welcome to Burlesque from the Burlesque soundtrack. Rosin Coven and March of the Modern Pagans. It's from Menagerie. And we started the entire set off with Yoko Kano and the Seatbelts and Amusement Park. This is from Cowboy Bebop. It is 12:30 here at 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. I just had the one interview today, so it's going to be music from here on out. But I don't want you to feel like you're not learning anything. So how about Conjunction Junction?
Conjunction Junction, what's your function?
Hooking up words and phrases and clauses.
Conjunction Junction, how's that function?
I got three favorite cars that get most of my job done.
Conjunction Junction, what's their function?
I got and, button, or, they'll get you pretty far. And, that's an additive, like this and that. But, that's sort of the opposite, not this, but that. And then there's or, O-R, when you have a choice like this or that. And button or, get you pretty far.
Conjunction Junction, what's your function?
Hooking up two boxcars and making them run right. Milk and honey, bread and butter, peas and rice.
Hey, that's nice.
Dirty but happy, digging and scratching, losing your shoe and a button or two. He's poor but honest, sad but true.
Conjunction Junction, what's your function?
Hooking up two cars to one when you say something like this. Choice, either now or later, or no choice. Neither now nor ever.
Hey, that's clever.
this or that, the growth in or fat. Never mind, I wouldn't do that. I'm fat enough now.
Conjunction, what's your function?
Hooking up phrases and clauses that balance like out of the frying pan and into the fire. He cut loose the sandbags, but the balloon wouldn't go any higher. Let's go up to the mountains or down to the seas. You should always say thank you or at least say please.
What's your function?
Hooking up words and phrases and clauses in complex sentences like, in the mornings when I'm usually wide awake, I love to take a walk through the gardens and down by the lake, where I often see a duck and a drake. And I wonder as I walk by just what they'd say if they could speak. Although I know that's an absurd thought.
Conjunction, what's your function?
Hooking up cars and making them function.
Conjunction, how's that function?
I like tying up words and phrases and clauses.
Conjunction, junction, watch that function.
I'm gonna get you there if you're very careful.
Conjunction, junction, what's your function?
I'm going to get you there if you're very careful.
Conjunction, junction, what's your function?
I'm going to get you there if you're very...
You're my little churchy face. My coochie, coochie, woochie, little churchy face. Every time I look at you,
and you're my little teddy bear, my lovey-lovey, dovey little teddy bear. You're the apple-strewed hell over mine eye.
Your choochy-woochy nose, your choochy-woochy eyes, they set my heart aflutter.
Your oochie-coochie race, your oochie-coochie gaze, wilts me down like melting butter.
You're my little churchy face.
And you're my teddy bear. Together we're a choochie-woochie, oochie-coochie pair.
My happy task, I only live to serve you.
I never will divine what magic made you mine. I only know I don't deserve you.
You are my little choochy face.
And you're my teddy bear. Together we're a choochy, woochy, oochy, coochy.
Choochy,
woochy,
oochy,
coochy. Choochy, woochy, oochy, coochy.
Shut it up, bop, tap, tap, down on you now. We're down for the count. It's down to the wire. We can't drop the ball. We gotta aim a little higher.
Cause when we're on the ropes and it's our turn at bat, we gotta throw a Hail Mary. Gotta go to the mat.
Sports analogies, we found the common ground in all man's personalities.
We talk a big game, that's how we relate.
It's the easiest way for men to communicate. Hike!
Tap, 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 da-da-doo-dow. It's par for for the corks
when you're in the home stretch,
to swing for the fences
with a full court press.
We're on the 1 yard line,
inches to go,
so you'll pitch and I'll catch,
cause it's Ollie to blow.
Let's use more sports analogies. Sports analogies, they help men cope with life's harsh realities.
A few more cliches
till we run out the clock.
Just keep your eye on the ball,
the puck,
and my shuttlecock.
Hey!
Sometimes when we watch sports, we get sad, and we make it seem like we're sad about the sports.
But we're not really crying about the game at all.
Who really cares about a game of basketball?
We're sad about our dads. We couldn't talk to our dads
unless we used sports analogies. Sports analogies, men feel safe with these empty generalities. Let's go for the gold,
and then we'll hit the lockers.
We're American men, we like all sports except for soccer, cause soccer's just a bunch of foreigners running around.
You put that pad away. I'm asking you, please, no. It isn't right, it isn't fair. There was no parking anywhere. I think that hydrant wasn't there. Why can't you let it go? I think I've paid more than my share. I'm just a poor girl, don't you care? Hey, I'm not wearing underwear.
Thank you. falls. Heart burns dry. A dream or a song that hits you so hard.
Shining.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. We got to hear from Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I'm just going to name the musicals. Hedwig and the Angry Inch and Absolute Beginners, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and Schoolhouse Rock. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mr. Ford, who'll be pleasuring your ear hole, but I will leave you with this track from the Beat Generation. It's Charles Mingus with Gene Shepherd and The Clown.
Man, there was this clown, and he was a real happy guy, a real happy guy. He had all these greens and all these yellows and all these oranges bubbling around inside of him. And he had just one thing he wanted in this world. He just wanted to make people laugh. That's all he wanted out of this world. He was a real happy guy. Let me tell you about this clown. He used to raise a sweat every night out on that stage and just wouldn't stop. That's how hard he worked. He was trying to make people laugh. He used to have this cute little gimmick where he had a seal follow him up and down a stepladder, blowing Columbia the Gem of the Ocean on a B-flat Sears Roebuck model 1322A plastic bugle, a real cute act. But they didn't laugh. A few little things here and there, but not really. And he was booking out in all these tank towns, playing the Rotary Club and the Kiwanis Club and the American Legion Hall. And he just wasn't making it. And he had all these wonderful things going on inside of him, all these greens and yellows and all these oranges. He's a real happy guy. And all he wanted to do was to make people laugh. That's all he wanted out of this world, was to make people laugh. And then something began to grow. Something that just wasn't good began to grow inside of this guy. It's a funny thing. And something began to trouble this clown. You know, little things. Little things once in a while would happen that would make that crowd begin to move. But they were never the right things. Like, for example, the time the seal got sick on the stage. All over the stage, the crowd just broke up. You know, little things like that. And they weren't supposed to be in the act. And they weren't supposed to be funny. This began to trouble him, began to bother him. This little thing began to grow inside. All those greens and all those oranges, all those yellows, they just weren't as bright as they used to be. And all he wanted to do was to make that crowd laugh. That's all he wanted to do. There was this one night in Dubuque when he was playing this Rotary Club. All these dentists and all these druggists, all these postmen sitting around, a real cold bunch. Nothing was happening. He was leaving the stage when he stumbled over his ladder and fell flat on his face, just flat on his face. And he he stands up, he's got this bloody nose. He looks out at the crowd, and that crowd is just rolling on the floor. He's just knocked them flat out. This begins to trouble him even more. And he begins to see something. He begins to see something. Himself a set of football pads, a yellow helmet with red stripes, hired a girl who dropped a 5-pound sack of flour on his head every night from maybe 20 feet up. Oh man, what a bit. That just broke him up every night. But not like Dubuque. And all those colors, all those yellows, all those reds, all those oranges, a lot of gray in there now, a lot of blue. And all he wanted to do was to make this crowd laugh. That's all he wanted out of this world. They were laughing, all right. Not like Dubuque, but they were laughing. And the dough started to come in. He was playing the big towns, Chicago, Detroit. And then it was Pittsburgh one night. Real fine town, Pittsburgh, you know. About three quarters way through his act, a rope broke. Down came the backdrop, right on the back of the neck. And he went flat. And something broke. This was it. It hurt way down deep inside. He tried to get up. He looked out at the audience. And you should have seen that crowd. They was rolling in the aisles. This was bigger than Dubuque. This was bigger than Dubuque. He really had him going. Well, this was it. This was the last one. This was the last one. Yeah. This was the last one. He knew now. Man, he really knew now. But it was too late. And all he wanted was to make this crowd laugh. Well, they were laughing. But now he knew. That was the end of the clown. And you should have seen the bookings coming. Man, his agent was on the phone for 24 hours. The Palladium. MCA. William Morris. But it was too late. He really knew now. He really knew.